1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Tonight marks the end of a pop culture era.
Tonight, it's Pat Sajak's final episode hosting Wheel of Fortune airs. And last night on the show, his co-host Vanna White said goodbye.
We've laughed, we've cried, we've celebrated. Oh, gosh. What an incredible and unforgettable journey we've had.
Sajak hosted the syndicated game show for over four decades. Ryan Seacrest takes the reins next season.
We appreciate you being here. That goes for you, especially at home, and we'll see you next time.
Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Still in France for D-Day observances, President Biden today delivers a speech from Pointe du Hoc near Omaha Beach, where 2,400 U.S. soldiers died that day. A federal judge ordered former Trump White House aide Steve Bannon to report to prison by July 1st. He'd been free while appealing his contempt of Congress conviction. That appeal was rejected last month. This is ABC News. Someone spray-painted racist, misogynistic graffiti on San Francisco City Hall. London Breed is the city's black woman mayor.
I'm pretty sure I was a target. I mean, this is not unfamiliar to me. I deal with this every day, whether it's, you know, things that have said on social media, as well as emails that I received that describe me as exactly what was on this wall.
The offensive graffiti quickly covered up by a public works crew. In Oregon, this canine earned the title of human's best friend.
The bond between an Oregon man and his dog turned out to be life-saving. Brandon Garrett was driving with his four dogs when his vehicle plunged over an embankment in a remote area of Baker County and into a creek. One dog managed to make it out and walked 4 miles to reach the family's campsite. They knew there was trouble and called for help. Crews located the man, rescuing him and his three other dogs. All are said to be doing okay. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
And I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
Ben, buddy. It's nice to see you. You like it here. You're going to stay here. Your kids are young.
Yeah, 6 and 4. Yeah.
Boys or girls?
Boy and a girl.
I sent you a card when you had
Vince. Yeah, thank you. He sent me a card when I had Vince said, I think Vince. Either your dad or you will be mayor one day in the city. We still have it somewhere, for sure. Yeah.
I love it.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome WBAY morning anchor Emerson Lehman, who will talk about a big racing event here in Wisconsin. And Terry Barr joins us for a Friday night chat and some new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy and a little on the breezy side today. We'll get to 71 for a high. The wind northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight, clear, 55. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with showers, rain showers in the morning. Clearing in the afternoon with a high right around 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us for a TGIF edition. We have Peter Rapine of E-Bombs World with a week in review and Brady Ewing taking a look at sports. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
It's Friday. Come on in. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the radio. Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. I am happy to report that today looks like it's going to be a dry day around most of the state of Wisconsin. Still going to be plenty windy out there. We're looking for gusts out of the northwest today up to 30, 35 miles an hour. So know that if you've got to be working outside. Daytime highs today probably touching out between 73 and 75 degrees. Now tonight in the La Crosse area, you could start to see showers develop overnight into the morning hours. About a 60% chance of rain in the La Crosse area. Not a lot, less than a tenth of an inch of rain. Now, Madison, you're getting ready for the Dane County Breakfast on the Farm tomorrow morning. If you're going to plan on attending, I'd say try to get there as early as you can. Looks like rain showers are going to redevelop around the Madison area on Saturday morning, sometime around 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and the Milwaukee area. Same thing for you. Rain is probably going to develop Saturday morning after 10 o'clock. Daytime highs on Saturday look to be probably in the near 70s, low 70s at least. I'll take a closer look at that forecast as we roll our way through a Friday. And again, remember, Stumacher Ag Meteorologist back along with us on Monday. You know, you buy insurance and hope you never have to use it, right? You don't want to get in a car accident. You don't want to have something happen to your home. Insurance is designed to be there if something happens. Well, a lot of our Wisconsin hay producers don't have that kind of safety net, but there's a new plan in the works that might provide something for them as far as crop insurance. We're going to give you the details. We're also talking about how this weather has upended a lot of our agribusiness partners and some of the plans they might have had to get you off to a good start. We're visiting with Steve Bailey from Helena down in Monroe, Wisconsin. He's going to explain how they're trying to employ the latest in technology to try to work around the water puddles that a lot of Wisconsin farm fields have. Speaking of Monroe, coming up next, Limburger cheese. I bet it gets a reaction from everybody in the audience. Now listen, let's be fair. It's June Dairy Month. We want to wrap our arms around everything dairy in the state of Wisconsin. Stephanie Hoff tries to wrap her arms, her nose, and her tongue around Limburger cheese from the Monroe area in Greene County. That story is on the way.
Happy June Dairy Month. I hope you're getting your fill of ice cream, cheese, butter, and milk. And here's an idea for you. Try something you typically don't eat. I'm going to suggest Limburger cheese. Limburger has a reputation for a potent aroma, but it's also iconic to Wisconsin's history. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. I caught up with one of Limburger cheese's biggest fans, John Yagi. John is the coordinator of the Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker Program at the Center for Dairy Research. He also does a lot of cheese judging at various competitions, and he finds himself judging the stinky cheeses.
Stinky cheeses aren't for everybody. So, I mean, when they set up the judging class, they look for judges that have experience in handling them, tasting them, have done it in the past. So they tend to gravitate toward those people to do those type of classes. So they're picked according to your likes and preferences. They know that's one of my favorite cheeses. I've actually manufactured Limburger cheese for a few years. I'm very familiar with it. I've judged it in many contests over the years. And like I said, it's a cheese that people don't appreciate because it's used in many different ways that you may not realize.
We'll talk about some of those ways later, but first I want to talk about its tradition in Wisconsin.
Oh yeah, there's a definite historic aspect because a lot of immigrants came over from Switzerland, Germany, and settled in Wisconsin back in the 1800s. So they manufactured different varieties. Amongst them was Limburger, surface-ripened brick, cheeses like that. So it just took off from there. And a fun factoid that people might not realize, Kraft Foods was very heavily involved with Limburger cheese way back in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. And Kraft actually owned manufacturing plants that made Limburger cheese and sold it under the Mohawk Valley line on the east coast of the United States. So very popular cheese, and Kraft was one of the originators in the United States.
But I don't know if it's maintained its popularity among the masses. Tell me how the flavor profile of the consumer has changed, where we're not seeing so many Limburger manufacturers anymore today.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And where it kind of started falling out of favor was probably, if you remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoons and Pepe Le Pew, and they made fun of the Limburger cheese and the smell. That kind of set the tone for a lot of consumers back in the 50s and 60s. And it is a cheese that's very flavorful, can be very pungent. And there are other varieties that maybe aren't quite as odoriferous and as flavorful as Limburger. But Limburger just slowly, as the years went on, just slowly lost market share. And I think some of that was because at the same time it started to drop back, you saw other varieties somewhat similar that started to take its place.
So really, with some of the new varieties of cheese that are gaining popularity, some of those flavors are still pungent. They're just not that surface-ripened Limburger.
Correct. And I think people hear the name Limburger and they just associate it with stinky cheese. But there's a lot of cheeses that I would say are every bit has the same flavor profile and texture profile as what Limburger has. So it is something, yeah, that I think... like I said, the consumers, there's less and less being used, but I think people would be surprised with the Limburger how much is used in other food ingredients that people don't realize.
Now, when I talk to some of my friends, usually I hear, oh, my grandpa, my dad likes Limburger cheese sandwiches. But you're saying actually young people are getting back into this special to Wisconsin cheese.
They are. There's more people that like it. And it's really good on rye bread with mustard and sweet onion. It's one of my favorites. And, yeah, there is a segment that like it. And a lot of young people don't realize that they maybe don't like Limburger. But Limburger is utilized as an ingredient in making a lot of processed cheese spreads. So if a lot of people out there like nacho cheese and nachos at ballparks and you see that ooey gooey cheese, there's actually Limburger in a lot of that to give that cheese, that nacho cheese, a little bit more of a flavor profile.
So, John, at the Center for Dairy Research, are you ever approached by people in the industry who are interested in pursuing Limburger as part of their market?
Not so much Limburger specifically, but similar varieties. Surface-ripened cheeses have really grown in popularity. And you can get into different textures, flavors of surface-ripened cheese. Everything from a very soft, like Limburger. You can get some of the Jasper Hill or some of the Rush Creek that's made at Uplands, the very soft, spreadable surface-ripened cheese, even into the Gruyères, which are hard surface-ripened cheeses. So there are some similarities there.
And there are still places in Wisconsin that you can get that traditional Limburger cheese sandwich or the Limburger to put on a sandwich like you like.
Oh, yes, there is. You know, Monroe, Wisconsin is known for that, and Bumgartner's in downtown Monroe during cheese days. They have a Limburger tasting contest where they challenge people to take the Limburger challenge to eat a piece of Limburger.
As John Yagi alluded to earlier, Limburger cheese is a part of the categories that he finds himself judging at cheese competitions. He's got the palate to navigate the stink or the aroma of these styles of cheeses. He tells us how it's done.
So you have to be very methodical in how you go about it because it can be overwhelming. So what you do when you judge, whether it's that or any cheese, you start by looking at the appearance, how it's packaged, the shape, the exterior of the cheese. Then what you do is you go through and then you cut it with a knife and you look at the texture. Is it sticky? Is it pasty? Is it too firm? And then you look at the inside. Is it fully ripened throughout? It shouldn't have a core in there. And then you go ahead to taste it. So when you taste it, you put it in your mouth, you chew it, you work it a little bit, and then spit it out. It helps not to swallow because the more cheeses you eat, you get really full and you can get your sensory overload as you describe it. So you need to clean up between. Every judge is different. My partner that I'm judging with today likes to use apples and crackers, which are common. Some people like water. I'll actually use soda, like a Diet Pepsi, Diet Mountain Dew helps me. Other people will use like half and half or something with a lot of fat in to cut that flavor profile.
So those are some of the tricks of the trade. I was also curious, too. You said a lot of the judging actually happens before you even put it in your mouth. The look and the texture, for example. Why is that?
Yeah, correct. So you want to be methodical when you judge because you want to be fair to everyone that enters because it takes a lot of time and effort and money to enter these contests. And winners, it means a lot from a marketing standpoint to say you've won the World Championship Cheese Contest and even winning your category. So you want to be methodical going through because if you jump ahead to the flavor and all of a sudden now you go back and try to look at the appearance of it, it can kind of mess you up. So if you do the same thing over and over, you get into a routine so you can move a little bit quicker when you judge and you're more methodical and then you wait with the flavor profile at the end.
You know, is it hard to judge it on an empty stomach or a full stomach? Is that something you have to take into consideration?
I'm laughing because I think every judge is different. I personally can't eat breakfast. When I judge, I have to come over because I think, you know, studies have shown that you're more attuned as far as your senses are more attuned when you're hungry than when you're full. So you have a little bit more of that edge being able to judge and evaluate little nuances and cheese flavor and texture. So I generally don't eat breakfast when I come in here at a very, very light lunch.
John Yagi shedding some light on what it takes to judge the pungent cheeses in competitions. John is the coordinator of the Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker Program at the Center for Dairy Research. He also describes himself as one of Limburger Cheese's biggest fans. As he told us, Limburger not only has a strong smell, but a strong heritage in Wisconsin. It may not be as popular as it was in the early 1900s, but it is drawing interest from younger generations who are looking for unique artisan cheeses. If you decide to give it a try during June Dairy Month, I want to know about it. Tell us your thoughts on Limburger by sending us a text through our talk text line. The number is 877-301-3276. That's 877-301-FARM. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning. Weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr.
Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
We are experiencing a stretch of severe weather in Wisconsin. 22 tornadoes were reported over 4 different days. This includes the strongest one that ripped through Evansville area, marking the first time that a tornado ever touched down during the month of February in Wisconsin. Now, we typically average 23 tornadoes during an entire year and recorded 21 in 2023. But we've already surpassed last year. And what's considered to be the most severe weather months of June and July are still ahead of us. One more thing, forecasters are predicting a shift to a La Nina climate pattern in July, meaning our severe weather season could be longer and more damaging than ever. Information you need to be sure you and your family are always weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Todd Alba Show.
Jane Matt Nair, who I usually say it's lovely to hear you, Jane, but right now we have to be rivals. We have this great Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. She beat us by one texter yesterday.
We don't have anything on the line for this. Here's my suggestion. The loser has to buy the other one a steak dinner at the nicest supper club in Amory.
Okay, I'm
How
on.
How about that?
I'm on.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Rocker will be in the studio.
Featuring Wisconsin's greatest bands.
Weekday mornings 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
weekend. If you need to find what's going on in your area, I always point people to wisconsindairy.org. That's Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, cumulative website of all the activities that are happening. wisconsindairy.org. You know, you buy insurance and you hope you never have to use it. That's great. But what if you didn't even have a chance to buy insurance? That's the situation that a lot of our Wisconsin hay and alfalfa producers have been facing for decades. It literally is a crop that's been overlooked as far as risk management is concerned. But that could be changing. That's according to Beth Nelson. She's president of the National Alfalfa and Forage Alliance. Now, coming up next week, Tuesday, June 11th, they are going to have a listening session for farmers to get an idea on a new insurance product that the risk management agency under USDA is taking a look at. She said, Wisconsin plays a critical role in this conversation.
Alfalfa has grown in every state in the country, but it is a pilot, so it will not cover, our new program will not cover all the states, but it will be offered in the two top dairy-producing states, California and Wisconsin. It will be offered in the pilot phase in 12 states, and that does include Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Montana, Idaho, Washington, and California. There is a possibility that we could tweak those states in the pilot during this development phase, but right now that is what's being proposed.
Beth Nelson, she's the president of the National Alfalfa and Forage Alliance. She said one of the major challenges they've had is trying to educate the risk management agency about what alfalfa hay really is and how growers can suffer real big consequences just because of rain.
We've had a lot of untimely rains, which has led to some significant lodging in the first cut, which then in turn leads to quality issues, which is one of the reasons why this new product would be so important, because they haven't necessarily experienced yield losses, but they have experienced some quality losses. So the current APH program covers yield losses, but doesn't do anything if the yield is still there, but the quality has gone down.
There you go, Beth Nelson with the National Alfalfa and Forage Alliance. On Tuesday, June 11th, they're asking all farmers to listen in on a session that they're having with the risk management agency. Stephanie Hoff has got details up on our website now, MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, you can also listen to her full conversation with Beth Nelson if you want to learn more about that crop insurance project they're working on for hay. We'll take a quick break. Coming up, weather details for the weekend.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Dairy Girl Network invites all dairy women to join them at their biannual conference in Kansas City. The Forward Together conference is November 5th through the 7th and features 25 speakers with breakout sessions and time to connect with fellow farm women. The conference also has a trade show, shopping, and photo headshots. For full details and to register, visit dairygirlnetwork.com. The early registration deadline is June 19th.
All righty, let's talk weather on a finally Friday morning, brought to you by our friends from Compure Financial. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. You can find great resources online right now. Compure.com. I'm Pam Yonke. So now they're changing things up a little bit as far as the rainfall on Saturday morning. I was just talking with another meteorologist that says for a lot of folks, we might see a little bit of measurable rain before 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Now, that is just lousy timing for anybody that's involved in June dairy events. But if you're going to be attending, and please do attend, there's a lot of folks put in a lot of time and effort. Just make sure you're prepared with mud boots for you and the kids. If you're planning on bicycling or doing something like that, just remember, this is a farm. These are not paved roads in many regards, so just Think that through. Once we get past the rain tomorrow morning, things should clear out. 70, well, probably around 70 to 72, our daytime highs tomorrow. On Sunday then, clear skies. Things calm back down as far as winds, and we stay dry. Sunshine on Sunday. Looks like we're going to hit the mid-70s as far as our daytime highs. Overnight, maybe a little bit of a shower possibility in the La Crosse area. Otherwise, the rest of us stay dry. And as we begin the begin the 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention on Monday, should see sunshine with temperatures that are going to be in the mid-70s. That's not a bad way for the FFA Blue and Gold to get their work started at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. We'll be covering all the details for you, as you can expect. Thanks for joining us.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. Max Inc. Radio.
The piano gal, Marta Hansen, will be rolling her keyboard from Sun Prairie to our studio for a Saturday Night Live concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, Rocker, and Jimmy K.
Weekend evening, 6 until midnight, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
June is Brain Awareness Month, and the Alzheimer's Association estimates more than 120,000 people are living with the disease in Wisconsin. In the Green Bay area, there are two dementia-friendly neighborhoods hosting what's called Purple Angel trainings. Here's Advocate Casey Kapelczynski.
It starts from the basics. What is dementia? What do you need to understand about the disease? What sort of things should you be recognizing? And how do you best adjust your behavior to interact with them in a way that's positive for each individual in that interaction?
And the sooner dementia is recognized, the more support can be given.
And the more informed we all are, the sooner we can start treating it with the medications that we have, interventions, diet changes, whatever it might be that your physician recommends.
You can always learn more at ALZ.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, "I just don't get it. What was in it for them?"
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno fest for charity or something.
That'd be cool.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Tonight marks the end of a pop culture era.
Tonight, it's Pat Sajak's final episode hosting Wheel of Fortune airs. And last night on the show, his co-host Vanna White said goodbye.
We've laughed, we've cried, we've celebrated. Oh, gosh. What an incredible and unforgettable journey we've had.
Sajak hosted the syndicated game show for over four decades. Ryan Seacrest takes the reins next season.
We appreciate your being here. That goes for you, especially at home, and we'll see you next time.
Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Still in France for D-Day observances, President Biden today delivers a speech from Point du Hoc near Omaha Beach, where 2,400 U.S. soldiers died that day. A federal judge ordered former Trump White House aide Steve Bannon to report to prison by July 1st. He'd been free while appealing his contempt of Congress conviction. That appeal was rejected last month. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Not another nickel!
Not another dime! No more money for Israel's trust!
Seven pro-Palestine protesters are under arrest after disturbing the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents meeting today in Milwaukee. It's part of their ongoing efforts to get universities to cut ties with Israel. Former Waupun prison warden Randall Hepp and eight former guards and nurses are charged with felonies in connection with 2 out of 4 inmate deaths in the last year. Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt.
There must be accountability for the actions and inactions of state employees. As the sheriff, I am angered at how these men were treated and how they died.
One inmate died of malnourishment. Another was dead for 12 hours before anyone noticed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers look to bounce back. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. The Brewers are in Detroit for a weekend series against the Tigers after being swept earlier this week by Philadelphia. But manager Pat Murphy says the Philly series will help the team going forward.
I know this will be a good thing for our team to go through. Nobody likes losing. Nobody likes losing close ones. No one likes knowing you're right there and the ball just, you know, you hit balls hard and they get caught. You know, it's time to hit a fly ball and you hit a ground ball. You know, but one lack of effort, like I've said all year, 61 games, I believe 98% of them, we've been in there till the last pitch.
The Brewers entered the Detroit series 10 games over 500. The Tigers are 31-31. First pitch in Detroit is scheduled for 5:40 p.m. Three state high school championships are this weekend. State softball and tennis are today and tomorrow in Madison, and the first ever state lacrosse championship is Saturday in Sun Prairie. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning on Up North News Radio, Jennifer Schulze talks about how New York City's big papers have become infected with a nasty case of Joe Biden derangement syndrome.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
This weather update is brought to you by your boat club, Oshkosh's premier outdoor clothing and equipment retailer. When you're serious about fun, shop your boat club located at 1232 North Sawyer Street.
Partly cloudy and a little on the breezy side today. We'll get to 71 for a high. The wind northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight, clear, 55. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with showers, rain showers in the morning. Clearing in the afternoon with a high right around 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol. Honor the Earth Powwow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I get questions sometimes from folks about whether or not people should buy silver or gold. You know, the actual physical metal itself. Should people buy it, put it in a safe, or bury it in their backyard or something? And I get it. There's something to the allure of a precious metal. You know, gold is tangible. You can hold it in your hands. It's pretty. Gold used to prop up the value of the US dollar. It's been about 50 years since that was the case. But some people feel like buying gold or silver can be a safeguard for their money in uncertain times. Feelings are one thing, and math is something different. And in this case, the math is very clear. A diversified, low-risk portfolio beats a hidey hole full of gold every time. For more insights on how money works, how you can save more and spend less, head on over to workmoney.org. Until next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like Skee Ball, made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of Skee Ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mino and the mayor.
Ben, buddy. It's nice to see you. What do you think the city needs to do?
We need to change the perception of the schools. There is a negative perception about Green Bay Public Schools. I'm just getting into it as a parent. My kid is in kindergarten at McAuliffe on the east side, and I think we need to improve how people view our schools. There's a perception, and I don't know if it's warranted or not.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9, on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, next week is the 95th annual Wisconsin State FFA convention coming back to the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. I want you to know you're going to hear an update every day from our summer intern and past Wisconsin State FFA officer, Aubrey Schlimgen. She is actually going to be joining up with FFA chapters from across the state starting on Monday for their day of service. Chapters come in early. They'll be dedicating a lot of time on Monday with the Dane County Parks group and doing some hands-on labor for them. They're also going to be building bunk beds, literally, for families and children that don't have beds. It's called Sleep in Heavenly Peace, and the Wisconsin FFA Association partnered up with them. So those kids in the blue and gold jacket are going to be busy on Monday before the convention even starts, and Aubrey Schlimgen is going to be right along with them. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Tickled to have you along with us. If you're going out to June dairy events tomorrow, I suggest you try to go early if you can. It does look like everybody's going to start to see a few light showers rolling in, probably about 10 o'clock. Doesn't look measurable, but it is something we're going to have to bear in mind. The good news, talking about those FFA kids and their day of service on Monday. Monday looks glorious. Sunshine, maybe a little on the cool side. Temperatures on Monday between 66 and 70 degrees. We'll wait until we get there, right? All right, so what can I tell you on this? The seventh day of June. Let's see, on this day back in 1929, Vatican City became an independent state. Yep, they've got their own zip code, kind of their own political guidance, all on this day back in 1929. On this day in 1968, the world's first Legoland resort opens. Where do you think it is? Yep, Billund, Denmark. That's basically where Legoland started. It's home of the Lego Group, and it's also home of the first of six theme parks based around the Lego interlocking plastic bricks. First Legoland opens on this day in 1968. Couple of happy birthdays you might recognize. Tom Jones, the Welshman, 84 years young today. Liam Neeson, he's 72. And Michael Cera, who is, how did you know him? He was in Juno, most recently in Barbie. He is 36 years young. And now you know. We've got a new face that's leading the Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association. Grant Holly comes to us from the state of North Carolina. Charity Seebecker headed up to Wisconsin Rapids to get a face-to-face opportunity to meet this new executive director and find out what he sees developing with Wisconsin Cranberries.
Grant Holly has joined the association staff as the new executive director. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report. And Holly comes in with a fresh perspective and tells me about his goals for the year ahead. But first, he tells me how he found his way into the new role.
I came this way. My background was in agriculture education as well as science education. I've been a professor at North Carolina State University, focused with the College of Education, working with the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. From there, I matriculated over to an international position that also dealt with health and agriculture. During COVID, I made my way up to Wisconsin, working with a health nonprofit. As I dealt with that, I realized that agriculture is where I'm the happiest because it has the absolute best people. And I found the Cranberry folks a few months ago and started talking about their new transition. And we all got excited and started moving forward with it.
So did you have a lot of Cranberry experience before that? Or is it, it's on my Thanksgiving table and I enjoyed it? Or take me through then how that transition has been for you.
The plant itself, the only experience that I've had, I grew up in West Virginia and we have an area called Cranberry Glades. And I've been able to actually see some of the biology there because it's very special for the state. And if you go through an undergraduate in any of the sciences, you wind up going there. But we're going to call it minimal knowledge. I have cooked with cranberries for years. They are fabulous to add to things, especially the tart ones, not necessarily the sweet ones in my book, but it's everybody's different. But yeah, that's where the experience came from. But I've been learning as fast as I possibly can about the actual growing of the cranberries over the past few weeks.
And so you are new to this role. How do you see it growing now under your reign?
Well, we have it, Tom Lochner, and the entire community has a lot to thank him for. He's been around for 35 years, and with the amount of information that's inside of his head over 35 years, one of the few times in my life that I've actually felt a little intimidated, simply because of just his huge stretch. Tom was able to put you guys, or put us on the map, in terms of starting up some nice research agendas to be able to get things more permanent. He set us up with a number of tools that's going to help us go for the next 5, 10, 20 years. My hopes are to be able to start really digging into the history and the families that are surrounded within Cranberry and look at new pathways, new avenues for funding. Look at new products that can actually be produced. Just looking at this whole transition, because that's what Cranberry is going through. There are a number of farms that are going from father to daughter, father to son. It's within the whole family, and we're seeing that new generation coming into play. One of the fun parts is that I met so many of the people on my own interview committee that their parents were the ones that hired Tom. And it's just, it's the new generation. And we're all excited to be able to see where we go now.
Once again, that's Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association Executive Director Grant Holly along with us. He says he's excited to continue to improve Wisconsin's top-ranked industry of cranberries, promising fresh insights, cutting-edge research, and deep commitment to sustainability and growth. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Nice conversation, Charity. Thank you. And we'd be remiss if we did not wish a very successful and fun retirement to the guy that held the reins for the Wisconsin Cranberry Growers 35 years. Best of luck, Tom Lochner, in your retirement after, like I said, serving the Wisconsin Cranberry Grower industry for 35 years. Job well done. All righty, let's take a look quickly on a Friday morning. What's going on in the marketplace? I don't think you're going to like it. When I came in this morning at about 2 o'clock, Dow Jones Industrial Average was up. Now nothing is up. Dow Jones Industrial Average right now down more than 10 points. December new crop corn on a Friday morning down a penny and a half, currently at 4.68. November soybeans, they're down 3.75 cents at 11.63. July wheat, that's down 12 and a half, 6.27 a bushel. Yesterday in Chicago, our barrel cheese, that gained a penny to 195 and a half. 40-pound block cheese on Thursday was down a penny and a half, 184 and a half. Well, AA butter, that dropped 4.5 cents. Butter's still at 305 a pound, but it is back into a more normal orbit for consumers, shall we say. The fluid milk, Class 3 July milk that goes into cheese, up 6, $19.97 a hundredweight. August milk closed a dime lower at $20.26. And September Class 3 milk for cheese closed down 14 cents at $20.10 a hundredweight. You know, with the drier weather we're looking at today, if you're somebody that's growing a fruit crop, apples, grapes, strawberries, things like that, you might want to pay attention to the disease that could be starting to creep in. That's the advice of Leslie Holland. She is the disease specialist for the UW Fruit Program. And she says, with all this rainfall that we've had in Wisconsin, now is the time to start monitoring.
The great news is that there's time to tackle these issues, and we don't know what the rest of the season's going to look like, but I will say we really encourage folks to have a really aggressive and strong fungicide program early in the season, because what you're helping to do is knock down that initial inoculum. If you can knock a lot of that down, that will help your management further on into the rest of the growing season. When folks can get out there, that's the complicated part, but when folks can get out there and get the sprays on using their best products, this is an ideal time to do it to help prevent further on into the season, because we're just in June, so we still have a long ways to go before, you know, mid-August through the fall. I will say if this rain continues, it's going to be pretty conducive to some of the fruit rot diseases. And so really that's going to come down to folks having really good sanitation practices. So removing any infected fruits, getting fungicides on as they can, but really protecting against those fruit rot diseases that can tend to crop up. That's the really challenging part about this weather that we're having. It makes not only getting the pesticide spray on complicated, but also for any type of business and new picks. It can be really challenging. So yeah, hopefully we get those days that dry off that allow the fruits to dry off and also folks come out and be able to pick them.
Yikes, more work. That is, again, Leslie Holland, University Extension Fruit Specialist, just giving you some insights into what you need to keep an eye on if you've got any kind of fruit. Remember, that's grapes, that's strawberries, that's any of our fruit crops that we're growing in Wisconsin. This is not the kind of weather that it necessarily likes. It'll grow the fruit, but unfortunately, with all the wet moisture we've got around that fruit, it can start to rot pretty quickly. Hey, if you're a grower, maybe you've got strawberries or something else, let me know how it's going for you. We haven't used our talk text line much since the rain stopped. How about the strawberry growers that are out there? How are the patches looking? Are you going to be open this weekend? Why don't you share your insights with me now? Remember, our talk text line is open to you anytime that you think you need it. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. You can let me know where you are. If you're growing strawberries, is the patch open? Do you think you're going to have much of a season with the way the weather's been treating you? Or maybe I need to give you a call back. Whatever the case may be, go ahead and let me know. The talk text line, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. If we see something of interest, we'll be posting it up on social media just to make sure that everybody's aware of the situation. And always remember, if you're looking for strawberry growers near you, you can go to wiberries.org, wiberries.org. They've got a complete list of all our Wisconsin berry growers, and it will take you generally to individual growers' website, wiberries.org. Up next, this has been a frustrating spring for a lot of our Wisconsin agribusinesses. They want to work with farmers. They want to help farmers. But boy, this weather's been tricky. Talking about it with Steve Bailey from Helena Agri on the way next on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Ohio has an August 7th deadline for November's candidate registration. Problem is, Joe Biden wasn't going to be nominated until the Democratic convention beginning August 19th. What's an Ohio legislature to do? Try and stop ballot initiatives, of course. State legislatures routinely pass housekeeping bills to accommodate such discrepancies, but not this year. The legislative majority was spanked by the voters in 2023 after the legislature backed changes to ballot measure rules in August, trying to derail a reproductive rights initiative in November. The Ohio Capital Journal reports that negotiations for the fix began in early May, passing a House committee. Seeing a partisan opportunity, extreme Republican Senate leaders rolled in SB 215, a bill expanding a ban on foreign contributions to ballot measures to include foreign nationals living and working in the U.S. The Associated Press reports that a group funding the November Reproductive Rights Campaign received donations from a legal U.S. resident, Swiss billionaire Hans-Jörg Weiss. When National Democrats organized a pre-convention online nomination instead, and DeWine berated his fellow Republicans, Senate leadership offered to pass the fix, if the foreign funder legislation passed too. In a special legislative session, both the fix and the ban were passed and signed by the governor. Find more on this unnecessary drama at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Watch out!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a very special Friday edition. We're airing the grievances and gearing up for Crude and Dom's birthday week. You want to listen.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You know, this weather has caused farmers fits when it comes to trying to get the crops in the ground for spring planting. And now we've got the seed in the ground. We want to make sure those plants are healthy, right? But doing that is a challenge with the way the weather's been. I'm welcoming in this Friday morning Steve Bailey. He's the market manager for Helena Agri. He's in the Monroe market and joining me now. Steve, I know you guys in agribusiness are just as frustrated as Wisconsin farmers are with this weather. What have you been able to do lately to try to help them out?
Yeah, so great question and great topic to bring up. We've been talking a lot here the last, I'd say, 5 days with our team and our customers about whether they stabilized their nitrogen in the pre-pass, whether it was urea earlier, UAN. If they didn't stabilize it, what options we have to get nitrogen out there to make sure that a lack of nitrogen isn't your yield limit. And then the other thing has been a big topic is how far down did that herbicide wash? A couple of our guys have been telling us they've received 3, 4, maybe 5 inches of rain over the past week and a half. And that can move, depending on what herbicide you use, that could move some of that herbicide down below where we can keep some of these weeds under control for the period of time they wanted to till they get to second pass.
So it definitely sounds like awareness of each field, regardless of conditions. So what are some of the traditional ways that Helena tries to step in when you start identifying these problems?
We really start with what program we ran. So it depends on what your chemistry program is. Some herbicides, whether they're group 15s or 14s, only take a quarter inch of rain to activate before they start getting in that soil profile and controlling the weeds from emerging. Some take a little bit more, but if they take less moisture to activate, obviously we're touching on those fields first to see if the weed pressure is starting to come up before that 28, 29-day window that we were planning to go back. So that's kind of where we're starting. Steph Weiss, I'd mentioned her in the last interview we did. She does a lot of our tissue sampling and precision stuff. She is out doing tissue samples on some of the bigger corn that's out there just to see what the plant's telling us. Obviously, if that plant comes back deficient in something, we can go back to the original plan that we went into and make a judgment call with the grower at that point in time.
Now, I know that with the weather, trying to fix some of these issues can be challenging, you know, reapplying a herbicide or getting some additional nitrogen out there. How are you trying to strategize on that one, Steve?
Yep, great question. So we do have a rig that can spread urea over the top, so we can obviously put any of the dry fertilizer or products out there that we would have in our shed. And this year we did get a set of Y drops for our spray rigs. So if a guy needs some potassium, we can go out there with a Nuke O21 product with a potassium product with some sulfur in it, get some nitrogen out there. So we do have multiple options to get out there and get nutrients in the field if we do see that deficiency. Third option we have is Helena has a great lineup of foliar nutrition products. As long as we have enough vegetative tissue out there, usually that's a V5 application or later, we can put some nutrition through the leaf tissue as well.
And the nitrogen applications, you guys all right? You got multiple sources there if we want to have to bring some little nurse crop back that way?
Yep. We've got a 500,000-gallon UAN tank, and then we have a new fertilizer sit here this last fall that there is plenty of nitrogen sitting in it right now.
But the bottom line is be aware. Walk your fields. You don't want somebody just kind of armchair quarterbacking without really taking a look at what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, I would recommend get out in your fields, look through them, and call your sales rep and ask them to come look at them with you if you're questioning anything, for sure.
Well, and by far, you guys are going to get pressed into service fast. You've only got so many hours in a day, so make sure you're on top of it. As you know, even if you got a little mud on your boots, get on top of it so you can get that application request in.
Absolutely. Planning's a big deal in our industry.
Oh, hey, isn't it true? Even if we can't plan for Mother Nature. Very good. Steve Bailey along with us. He is one of the managers for Helena Agri. He's in the Monroe area. And like he said, communication. If you need somebody to take a look at those fields, help you with plant samples and find out exactly what moved or didn't move, the folks at Helena are staffed up, ready to go with the latest technology to get you those answers quickly and get you resolution on the challenges quickly. You can find them all online, HelenaAgri.com. Our friend Steve Bailey, market manager at the Monroe location for Helena Agri, along with us. Hey, I hope you'll be along with us for all the June dairy celebrations that are happening through the weekend. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. on stage at the Dane County Breakfast on the Farm. Blue Star Dairy, our host this year, just outside of DeForest. Remember all the details about June dairy activities happening all across the state online at wisconsindairy.org. Have a great weekend.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP Senior Account Executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today. Peter@civicmedia.us.
The head of the Ag College at the University of Georgia is back today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Are ag school graduates employable? Nick Place has an answer. He's the dean and director of the College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences at the University of Georgia.
We've heard a lot from industry that, yeah, we need students or graduates that really understand the technical subject matter. But you know what they really are looking for? Students that are able to deal with conflict and communicate and work with others, have a work ethic. All those kind of what I would call soft skills are also really important and the kind of things that our employers, our potential employers, are looking for.
As to whether ag schools are assets to the community, Place makes a pretty good case.
That is probably one of the things that also excites me about this college and the work that we're doing. And the reason it excites me, so many times you hear anecdote stories about the difference that this college has made in somebody's life or their business, or how it has helped them create a business, or how it has helped them save thousands of dollars, or perhaps save a crop that was on the verge of being taken out by frost or pest. And if it was not for what that extension agent or that extension specialist did, they would have lost their entire livelihood. Those kind of stories really mean a lot and really helps me, really drives me each and every day to get up and really be so proud of what we do here in the college.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Earl Ingram.
Friday morning, my good friend Sandy Williams will join the show from Florida. We'll talk about the biggest political stories of the week and break down some of the issues affecting us all.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
June is Brain Awareness Month, and the Alzheimer's Association estimates more than 120,000 people are living with the disease in Wisconsin. In the Green Bay area, there are two dementia-friendly neighborhoods hosting what's called Purple Angel trainings. Here's advocate Casey Kapelczynski.
It starts from the basics. What is dementia? What do you need to understand about the disease? What sort of things should you be recognizing? And how do you best adjust your behavior to interact with them in a way that's positive for each individual in that interaction?
And the sooner dementia is recognized, the more support can be given.
And the more informed we all are, the sooner we can start treating it with the medications that we have, interventions, diet changes, whatever it might be that your physician recommends.
You can always learn more at ALZ.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
ABC News.